Tonight, as we look at the Bible, we're going to look at the most fundamental thing that we need to get right in our lives. That's what Jesus is going to tell us. In life, there's lots of things that are fundamental to get right. That's because they're more important than anything else because they affect everything else. So the things that if you get them wrong, everything else falls apart. They're crucial. They're fundamental. So I'll give you an example. What's the most fundamental thing to know if you're learning to swim for the first time? What do you got? Breathe. Hold your breath. I reckon all these things are that. It's you cannot survive breathing underwater. But you get that thing wrong, that's kind of the base. You get that and then you kind of work from there. You get that one wrong, you're done. I'll give you another example. I used to work with Clark. If you don't know, Clark is a tree lopper. And one time we were working, we had to drop off some wood at my parents' place. And so it was my job to take the chipper off of the truck. So it kind of sits on like a trailer on the tow bar. And so there's heaps of things you need to do when you do that. It's get the stuff out of the back of the truck, wind up the chipper, take off the chains. But there was one thing that was fundamental to do, and I didn't do it. It was put something behind the wheels of the chipper so it doesn't roll away. You had to chock the wheels. So I didn't do that, so I wound up the chipper, and it goes, and the chipper just starts going down the hill because I haven't done anything, and it's rolling, and there's cars everywhere. So I try and stop it, but it's, Clark, how heavy is the chipper? 2.2 tons. So me stopping it as it's rolling down a hill doing nothing, and it's just going, it's going, and then what it does, so it's heading for cars. It'll ride off a car, and it starts veering to the right down someone's lawn. No fence, just like lawn, house. And it'll knock out the wall, the house will come down. And anyway, thankfully, by the laws of gravity, it just, as it cruised down the hill, momentum just tipped it and it just dug into the grass and it stopped. Whew. Like, it was freaking out. Now, there was heaps of things that I could have done wrong, but not chocking the wheels was the fundamental thing. Without that, everything fell apart. This bit of Mark, Jesus is going to tell us the most fundamental thing we need to do. Particularly the core thing we need to do in dealing with Jesus. He's going to see the most important life skill we could ever have. So we pick up in chapter 4 of Mark. Now, by now, Mark's told us a whole stack of interactions that Jesus has had with people. And the question's still out there, who is this guy? That's what people are thinking. Jesus has been teaching with authority. He's been healing the sick. He's been casting out demons. He's been saying controversial things and stirring up some controversy and some opposition. And people are still trying to figure out what this guy's deal is. Now, they don't know who he is, but he's gaining a lot of popularity. Now, masses of people keep tracking him down. We get a glimpse of this in chapter 3. People from all different regions start coming to Jesus to get different stuff. They pretty much all expect healing from him. They all want him to do these miracles, and they kind of want in on the action. Jesus is doing all this stuff. Well, they want a piece of it, as you'd expect. I don't know if you've seen many people deal with popularity. I looked up who the most popular person on social media is, who has the most friends on Facebook. Anyone want to have a crack? Nah, he was slum right at the bottom. It was Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player. He had 110 million friends. A decent amount. Now you can imagine how he would deal with that kind of attention. He'd probably be pretty stoked with himself. Maybe he'd be really glad for his fan base and their support, but you'd imagine he'd just love the attention and get a little bit of a big head. He'd try and be nice and humble probably, but you can imagine what that'd do to him. Now we see in Mark, Jesus is getting a decent following, and then we see how he deals with it. First up, he's having the same frustration with the crowd that he keeps having over and over again. He wants to teach them. They want healing and miracles. That's been the pattern. Jesus has really important things to tell them, things about the kingdom of God, God's plan throughout all history. But they've got a mate who's blind and needs a sight back. So tonight, we jump in at the start of chapter 4. And the crowds are doing the same thing. They're following him around. And look at 4 verse 1. If you've got your Bibles open, keep it open. Jesus is teaching by a lake, and he has to sit out in a boat to teach them. Now, I don't doubt the reason he has to sit in a boat is to keep them from getting all up in his grill about their teaching and healing. Jesus is getting so much attention, he decides to set the crowds straight. He's been speaking heaps, but they're not paying attention to what he's saying. They basically really just want him to finish so they can ask for their healings. I don't know if you've met people like that. I'm sure we all have people that they're not listening to you. They're just waiting for you to finish so they can ask for whatever they want. They want to borrow something. They want to ask you to do something. It's heaps annoying. Okay? Jesus puts these guys straight. And so what he does, he gives them a hearing test. He gives them his version of a hearing test, which is verse 3-8. We had it read out. He wants to see who's listening. So he tells them this story. It might be familiar to you. Farmer scatters out some seed. Seed lands on different places, or more particularly different types of ground. And then the different seeds have different results depending on what ground they're on. So the seed falls on the path and a bird snatches up the seed and nothing happens to it. It doesn't grow. And then a seed falls on rocky ground and it springs up quickly and then it withers away and dies. Seed falls among the thorns and it gets choked out by the thorns. And then one seed lands in good soil and it does real good. It has a big crop. And then in verse 9, Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And that's his story. Now, reading this little farm story that Jesus tells, I reckon's a bit hard to figure out. What's Jesus trying to say? Now, imagine you've never heard this before. This may be familiar to some of you. Imagine you haven't had it explained to you before. I wonder what you'd reckon he was talking about. I find it real hard to figure out what he's going on about. What's reassuring, in verse 10, the disciples don't get it either. Have a look at verse 10. When Jesus was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And then they ask him. So Jesus explains in verse 14 to 20. He says, the seed is the word. He says that in verse 14, the farmer sows the word. You check out verse 33, Mark helps us out. Jesus is speaking the word. And the ground in the story are people. And what separates them is how they respond to Jesus' words. And Jesus gives four different responses, which is essentially just two. The first three people listen poorly to Jesus. The last one listens well. So check out the first three responses. Verse 15, some people hear the word, but immediately it's snatched away, like a bird snatching seed. I don't know if I assume we've all done the crucial mistake of chucking a chip near a seagull because we think we'd show some pity and then they invite all their mates to like the big open house party. But you see how fast they pick it up. You drop it and they've got it. They don't have a 5-second rule like we do. They got a 0.5-second rule. Like they just go. You can imagine trying to scatter seed around those seagulls. It'd just land and be gone. The seeds would do nothing in the soil. They'd get eaten up straight away. Some people are going to hear the words of Jesus and do nothing with them. They'll have no impact on them, like a seed that's snatched away. This person, Jesus says, is responding the way Satan wants them to. See how Jesus said Satan takes away the seed. This person, the seed doesn't even start growing. That's the first one. Verse 16, the other one, some people hear the word, they quickly accept it, but then they fall away when things get tough. I don't know if you've ever seen someone like this. I've seen heaps of people respond to Jesus like this. I've seen someone in my family who's heard Jesus, jumped on board, been real excited about it, and then stopped listening to Jesus when life got harder. Jesus says the issue with these people is they don't have roots. They didn't take his word seriously. They didn't ground themselves in what Jesus said. And verse 18, you get the last poor response to Jesus. Have a look. These people hear the word of Jesus, but they get choked out. They have competing priorities, basically, that choke out Jesus and their ability to hear his word. I got a mate who did this about 4 years ago. This mate of mine first heard what Jesus says. He didn't grow up knowing about Jesus. He heard the word of Jesus and he thought real hard about him. He looked into it, he wrestled with him, and eventually he decided, yep, Jesus is speaking the truth. I want to listen to this guy. He accepts Jesus' words. He puts his trust in Jesus. He started living the way Jesus told him was best. And then over a couple of years, the thorns crept in. He had competing priorities with Jesus. So he cared an awful lot about what people think of him. He really wanted to be liked. He just really wanted to have a good time. And he really just wanted to live his life whatever way he thought would make him happy. So he stopped accepting what Jesus said. And then he stopped listening to what Jesus said. And that's kind of where he sits to that. I'm sure we've all got many stories like that. But these are the three responses that listen to Jesus poorly. They all make the same mistake. They fail to hear well, and we see the impact it has on them. And the last type of ground in the story nails it. This is the good one. The good soil, look at verse 20. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. I reckon there's many people like that here among us. So be encouraged if that's you. You hear Jesus speak, you wrestle with it, you accept what he says is true, and you let it shape your life. That's good soil. Now that Jesus has explained his little farmer's tale, we can get it. We kind of understand what point he's making. But he only explains it after he's asked about it. And he only actually explains it to the crew that asked him in verse 10. So my question for Jesus, no doubt, is why didn't you explain it to start with? Or better yet, why are you speaking in these parables, these hard-to-understand stories? You're not making it easy for us, Jesus. Why so cryptic? Jesus is like, there's a farmer, he scattered some seeds, some grew, some didn't. Figure it out. Like, spell it out, Jesus. Like, it's hard to figure out what he's talking about. Like, give us a break. Make it easier for us. And I reckon that's part of the disciples' question in verse 10. What's up with the riddles, Jesus? I reckon we get Jesus' answer in verse 11 and 12. Jesus is sifting his audience. Look with me at verse 11 and 12. Pick it up at verse 11. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Jesus speaks this way, in this cryptic way, so that some will get it, they'll be given the secret of the kingdom, and so some won't get it. They'll hear, but they won't understand. Now, if you're anything like me, you might be thinking, that sounds a bit harsh, Jesus, a bit exclusive, a bit unfair. But this isn't Jesus just arbitrarily just picking people, you're not going to get it, you will get it, you won't get it, you will get it. No, he's sifting them out. He's filtering them. You notice the difference between those who get it and those who don't? Verse 10 tells us the disciples and some others come up to Jesus and ask him about the parables. When they get alone with Jesus, they don't ask for miracles, they don't ask for whatever their immediate needs are, like everyone else. They ask about his teaching. They're seeking to find out what Jesus has to say. They care about his words, like the good soil in the parable. And so to the genuine inquirer, Jesus says, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." Now, the other group, Jesus calls those on the outside in verse 11. And to them, Jesus says, they won't understand. And he quotes Isaiah 6 to them, the words of God declaring judgment on his people. That's what happens in Isaiah 6. God says, they won't understand my message. And the reason for that judgment in Israel is because Israel didn't care about God's words. You'll see that in Isaiah chapter 5. They disregard them. So Jesus says, to those who disregard my words, they might hear my words, but they're not going to get it. They won't understand what I say. So Jesus speaks in parables, in ways that at first glance, with no effort put in, you're not going to get it. You won't get what he's saying. He's filtering out the crowd, seeing who thinks his words are important. Really, who thinks he is important and worth listening to? It's kind of like the selection process that they'd have for like the military and stuff. They like put them through all these grueling tasks to separate the men from the boys, see who's cut out for it, see who really wants to do this. You go to the sign up for the SAS and they'll put you through a 6-month selection process where they give you all sorts of endurance, strength, willpower tests. Last year, 3 guys in the UK died in the selection process from overheating. That's hectic. You get to the end of that and you're left with a few. The toughest, best suited soldiers, they get filtered out. That's what Jesus' parable does. Not that it finds the toughest, best people around. It filters the crowd. It sifts them out and separates them naturally. Some of them respond well to his words. They want to hear more and understand more. And some probably go home spewing that they didn't get the miracle they were hoping for. which is just what the parable said would happen. Different seed, different ground responding differently to Jesus. Now, Jesus does this because he wants people to understand what he brings. He's not trying to hide stuff. So come look at verse 21. Jesus talks about a lamp. He does another little parable. And he says, do you get a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? And of course you don't. That'd be pointless to put a lamp under your bed. No, he says, instead you put it on a stand so that it could light up the room and show you what's there. Just makes sense. And again, Jesus speaks in these kind of cryptic ways. But he helps us out in verse 22. He says, what is hidden is meant to be disclosed. What is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Jesus has things to teach, things that have been hidden before he came, a secret, as verse 11 puts it. And he says, they're meant to be revealed. You're meant to know them and learn them. Jesus isn't going to try to hide anything. He's trying to reveal, but to the person who's genuinely interested. He even tells us in verse 24 and 25, if we seek to understand, we'll be given more understanding. Jesus will reveal more to those who seek more. Jesus wants us to know all that he's revealed for us. Now for us here, we're here at church, we're hearing what he says. I think this is reassuring. It seems like we're on the right track. That is, if you're here to listen to the words of Jesus, you're genuinely pursuing them. If that's you, solid effort. You're doing what Jesus wants you to do. You're responding well to the person of Jesus. Keep going. Jesus is working with us. He wants us to understand him as we seek him. But can I say, seek hard what Jesus is saying. Keep working hard. Figure out what he's telling us. Get into the Bible. Get into it often. Take notes at church if you find that helpful. Get along to growth group. Ask questions that you have. Chase them up. As much as you seek is as much as you'll get. Now, I reckon there's one more big question to hit in here in chapter 4, verse 11. We've read this one a couple of times. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. What's the secret? Isn't that just racking your brain? What's the secret? Secrets always intrigue us. You kept something hidden. You want to know what it is. I did primary teaching for a year, a couple of years ago. And I'd always bring in two prize boxes to school. I'd always, so whatever kid, for good behavior, positive reinforcement, the end of the day or the week, I'd get two boxes, and the person who won, I'd say, you get to get the prize in one of these boxes. One of them, the box of destiny. I would show them, and it'd have some sweet prize in it, and I'd show them, like, here you go, it's a footy or whatever. And then the other one, the mystery box, and I'd never tell them what's in it. And I'd go, pick one. Every single time, without fail, they'll pick the mystery box. No doubt. It happened every time. I'd pack the box of destiny with such good stuff. I remember one time, this is before I realized you probably shouldn't bring in a billion lollies to school. I just had a big container of it, and I was like, you can have like this whole Tupperware container of lollies or the mystery box. And they're like, wow, that mystery box must be so good. And they always take it. So I obviously can have fun because I know they're going to take it. So I'm putting in there like lemons that I'm drawing faces on and like my socks and a cup of dirt and like signed photos of me and like just having a ball. And they'd always pick it. Every time they'd always pick it. Because people want to know what the secret is. They want to know what the mystery is. And Jesus in here has a secret and I want to know what it is. Something's been kept hidden, but Jesus gives it to the crew that ask him about the parable. So what is the secret of the kingdom of God? Now, the kingdom of God is what Jesus has been preaching this whole time in his ministry. We get that in the first chapter of Mark. And if you're a little unsure of what Jesus might mean when he talks about the kingdom of God, let me give you a quick snapshot first. Jesus is aware that the world we live in is broken. People are suffering, people are selfish, people are evil, people have gone AWOL and deserted God. But what Jesus is speaking of is God's plan to fix the world. What he's doing is he's establishing a kingdom. He's setting up a king to rule over the kingdom, to bring justice, to bring order. Mark tells us at the very start, this is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the all-man king. And God's creating a place for his kingdom to be, a place of no suffering, which we know of as heaven. And he's gathering a people together who'll be a part of that kingdom. And Jesus has a secret about it that he tells these people. What is it? He's already told them. In that farm story, they just don't get it yet. He's telling us who will be a part of this kingdom. And the defining factor that will make the difference is Jesus. Who accepts Jesus? Who listens to Jesus? Without that, they're not going to get in the kingdom. He is the secret. He is the key to the kingdom. The parable isn't about listening by itself, as if listening was some special thing. It's about Jesus and whether we listen to him. If we reject his words or stop listening or have competing priorities with the words of Jesus, like those soils, well, we're rejecting the man Jesus and we'll miss out on the kingdom because we reject the king. I read this pretty good article the other day. You may have heard it. When it happened, when it came out, it was like all over, went viral. It was about this guy. He was on his way for a job interview and he was commuting there and he got on the train. The train was packed out because it was, I don't know what city it was, but it was packed. Most cities are packed. And everyone's rushing to get out of the train. And then this guy who's commuting, pacing out, and this guy was in front of him, getting in his way. And the guy in front of him was just stepping aside to let this lady go out, and he was being real nice. And the commuter, job interview guy, walked in and was like, "Oh, God." So he shoved him out of the way and then kept pacing off. And the guy who was shoved out of the way was like, "Mate, I'm trying to get off as well, just wait." And the guy turns around and like swears at him. He goes, "Go F yourself." And then he paces off and he goes. And then on Twitter, the tweet that goes viral, check this, this is awesome, from the guy he shoved out of the way. This is just unreal. He said, "The guy who pushed past me on the train and suggested I go F myself just arrived for his interview with me." He'd be spewing. The one guy that day he needed to treat well and he blew it. You see how that's what Jesus is talking about? Jesus is saying, "I'm the secret. I'm the key. I am the one guy who determines who gains access into the kingdom. I'm it." So he tells us, listen to me. Now we take all what Jesus is saying in here, and if we get it, we could probably sum up what we ought to do from it from the first word Jesus said in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Listen. Listen. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. This was what Jesus was telling the crowd. The crowd who was giving him heaps of attention for his actions. Jesus says, consider carefully my words. It's the same message for us tonight. Can I offer us three ways that Jesus will shape our lives from this? First one, develop good ears to hear when it comes to Jesus. The most fundamental thing you need to have in your life is to hear Jesus. That's the most crucial life skill you need to have and develop, listening well to the words of Jesus. When you hear Jesus' word in whatever context, listen. Which is what we do here every week. We open the Bible, we dig into it. These are the words of Jesus. So come to church ready. Ready to hear, ready to listen, ready to put it into action. Now for some of us, we might find this a bit harder, and I can get this. You might be like, "Curtis, I'm just not a reader. It's harder for me to listen to these things. I'm not a words guy. Show me the movie." I tell you, I don't really like reading either. Except when it comes to Jesus. Reading the Bible and listening to the Bible explained isn't a question of whether you like reading or listening or learning. It's about Jesus. Can I encourage you, when it comes to Jesus, you want to be a person who listens well. It's the most fundamental thing. Without that, you'll be lost from the start. Seek it out. How good would it be if we were hungry to hear more words of Jesus and we sought that? Anyway, the second thing to take away, find your danger soil. Okay, from the Jesus' warnings in the parable, find out which soil you're most in danger of being like and heed the warning. Jesus wants us to see ourselves in that story. Are you the ground where the seed gets snatched up by the birds? If you hear the words of Jesus and they don't really have much impact on you, then yeah, you're that one. Maybe you're disinterested and you don't really care. You simply just don't believe what Jesus has to say. Or you just hear it and gloss over it like it's no big deal. If this is you, Can I just help you see the warning? Don't stay here blindly. That is, don't chuck out Jesus' words without weighing them up, coming to an informed decision. Jesus says he's the key to eternal life in the kingdom. Just don't disregard him with your eyes closed. If you look into Jesus, weigh up the evidence, hear him through, and then still don't care, that's another story. Just don't throw him out blindly. Now, maybe you're a bit more like the rocky ground. Jesus tells the person who hears Jesus' words, accepts them real quickly, and then falls away when hard times hit. Now, if you're not someone who calls yourself a Christian tonight, but you're thinking about it, this is pretty good advice from Jesus. Pretty good. It's real good advice from Jesus. Okay? Don't rush in. Hear what Jesus says and consider it carefully. Don't jump in superficially. Make a well-informed decision for Jesus. Now, if you're a Christian, we should take this warning and check our roots. Do you have trust in Jesus that will stand through whatever happens to you? Now, if you think maybe not, well, if this happened to me, I don't know what I'd do with Jesus. If this was taken away, maybe you need to deepen your roots. Hear Jesus' word, consider him, think them through. What's he on about? What does he want from me? What will following him mean? Deepen your roots. Maybe jump along to the next life series if you think that'll be helpful, getting back to the basics. Deepen your roots in Jesus. Now, the last warning was the thorny ground, the one that gets choked out by life around them. You want to work out what's the thing for you? What is it that gets in the way of you hearing the words of Jesus and living them out in your life? Is it certain things you're really worried about? You're worried about your money situation. You're worried about relationships. There's things you want to have that you're chasing. And because you want them, it's hard to do what Jesus says because they're battling against each other. A lot of things can get in the way of listening to Jesus. And to find out what yours is, I tell you what one could easily be. I feel like us just on the coast in such an awesome place. It could just be we're just so content we don't really want to do everything Jesus says. Pretty chilled. Life's pretty good. And Jesus is fine. Maybe I'll even change my life because of Jesus. But let's be realistic. I'm not going to do everything he says. That'll really change my lifestyle. Now, if any of this is ringing true for you, hear the words of Jesus, consider them. It's time to change. Take Jesus at his word. Wherever you're at, it's the same thing we all need to do. Listen well to Jesus. The last thing I just want to say, be glad and encouraged because Jesus has given us all we need. Jesus has been kind and revealed so much to us. We have all we need to hear Jesus. He's given us his words. He wants us to come to know him and know what he has to say. And he's given us his spirit to help us understand. We've been given an abundance in Jesus. Much has been revealed to us. So be encouraged. We're in good standing with Jesus. But let's seek after his words and have ears to hear. And how about I pray now that we'll do that? Heavenly Father, thank you that you've revealed so much of yourself to us. Thank you for Jesus who's spoken so much to us. Father, please give us ears to hear. Help us to listen well. Help us to accept the words of Jesus, to heed the warnings, and to respond appropriately to Jesus. Father, we're thankful that you have opened up the kingdom so that we could be a part of that. And God, I pray that we will trust Jesus for that. And thank you for revealing so much to us. In Jesus' name, amen.